This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Bill Barnwell, he ranked the NFL's wide receiver, tight end, and running back groups for 2025, best and worst. All right, you ready for number one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it goes the other way. So I don't know who number one is, so I have to go all the way. Damn it, I got to go all the way to the bottom here. Yeah, number one, the Philadelphia Eagles. I should have just guessed, and I probably would have got it right. Number 32 is the Tennessee Titans. Your Cleveland Browns clock in, courtesy of Bill Barnwell, ESPN. Where do you think they rank? I'm going to say I'm going to beat you to it. Number 29. In 2023, they ranked 12th in the NFL.
Whoa.
In 2024, they were 20th. Now they clock in at number 29. He writes, one of the few success stories for the Browns last season came at wide receiver. Once Deshaun Watson was sidelined and Amari Cooper was traded, Jerry Jeudy finally lived up to expectations as a potential number one receiver. After being inserted into the rotation by the Cooper trade, Cedric Tillman also briefly flashed as his starter upside, although he missed the final six games because of a concussion. Browns became the latest team to add Deontay Johnson this offseason, allowing the former Steelers, Panthers, and briefly Ravens wideout to make further strides towards completing his tour of the AFC North. David Njoku wasn't able to build on his success after catch from 2023, as the oft-injured tight end fell from 7th in yards per route to 25th at his position. Franchise icon Nick Chubb moving on. Browns are going to rely on a rotation of running back Jerome Ford, who averaged 5.4 yards per carry, but that figure was buoyed by two long runs late in the season. Quinshon Judkins is there. He might take the lead role, but fourth-rounder Dylan Sampson could end up as the most explosive back of the trio, but still has him at 29th overall. Now, I read these yesterday, and that played into my head of going, go out and get Terry McLaurin. After we heard about that Terry McLaurin's upset about his contract, and guys, I know I'm not an Ohio State fan. It doesn't mean I hate Ohio State. You know I don't. As much as Lyman wants to tell you I do, I don't. I have picking an Ohio State wide receiver, it's usually going to work out pretty decent for you. At least it should. I know some kind of float on into whatever, but boy, I mean, you got a couple of guys who are bona fide stars in the making right there. And Terry McLaurin has dealt with quarterback hell through most of his career up until this last year with Jaden Daniels. And I'm thinking, man, if he ain't happy, I'd love to have him. Well, Kenny is going to be 30 as the season starts. Yeah, I know. If he ain't happy, I'd love to have him. Kenny, he's looking for $30 million a year. Yeah, I know, but look at our running, or look at our wide receiver room. Well, Kenny, and I'm talking to myself because I'm making the arguments that you were able to make to me and completely douse these flames of me wanting to go after Terry McLaurin, and probably for my own good, Tone, when it's, yeah, but he's going to be 30, he's going to want $30 million, $30 million for a 30-year-old wide receiver. And if the over-under is at 5, say you just stick it. I know it's always a half, but there's some books that say 4.5, some books that say 5.5. If the over-under's at 5, then I had to ask myself this question, Tone. How much of a difference does Terry McLaurin really make? not enough to make the playoffs. Not enough to make the play. Unless Shedeur Sanders ends up being
great. Well,
any of the other guys.
To be fair, do you guys ever think a wide receiver is a difference in a team making the playoffs or not?
Because I think if they're on the cusp and you get the right one with the right quarterback,
The
Eagles went after A.J. Brown for a reason.
Yeah, and I mean, Tyreek Hill, obviously, when the Dolphins got him.
But you have to have the right people around those guys.
But I feel like Tyreek Hill in his prime is a one of one, like that can play the way he plays and change an entire team's.
You didn't feel like Amari Cooper was that for the Browns in 2023?
Oh, you could say that. Yeah, you could absolutely say that, Tone.
I mean,
Joe Flacco didn't really have a lot of other people to throw to.
Okay, are you saying
except for David.
Are you saying him or his level of wide receiver or like Amari Cooper and nobody else?
No, probably his level.
Because I always think the wide receiver is like the added luxury. Like if you bring in McLaurin's not a top five wide receiver in the league or anything like that. He's just been really good.
He's really good though.
We finally got to see how good he could be on a winning team.
He was drafted by the right team. Might have been at one point a top five wide receiver in the league.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's like Garrett Wilson. I've always thought that guy had the potential to be a top wide receiver in the league.
I think he still has the potential.
But he's just been on teams with not the right quarterback play or whatever.
I don't give up on him or Jackson Smith and Jigba or a couple of other guys that have been bopping around. I know Chris Olave, but like Michael Thomas, that was a totally different situation. I get what you're saying. I don't want to bog it down.
Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, we get to go out in all Ohio State wide receiver segment. But I guess what I'm saying here is normally you try to time these things up so that your wide receiver is not the difference maker. If you're asking that guy to be that and you're paying him as such, you'd like to time it up with having the quarterback. So it would seem a little out of sync to trade for him, whatever. I don't think you'd have to actually give up that much because it's more about paying him. So paying him, he's looking for $30 million a year. You'd like to split the difference or whatever, but $27 million a year, you're paying that guy, you'd like to have the quarterback in place. Right now, we don't. And I think it's a backwards way to look at the NFL to say you need the wide receiver to make the quarterback. You'd rather have the great quarterback to make the wide receivers, wouldn't you? And then if you do need for a playoff run to bring in a wide receiver, you trade for him at the deadline.
It's still easier to find wide receivers than it is with quarterbacks. But lay out everything that you're trying to do this year. That's why you asked this question off the air. Can you make an argument that the Browns are worse than what they were in 2024? And you look at three wins, you go, how could they be? Okay, well, remember, the last month of the season, they weren't exactly trying to go out there and beat everybody. That plays into it a little bit. So they may very well have been if they not had some of the injuries that they had, and they might not have tried to change their offense halfway through the year, change their offense at all, or, you know, do everything they did for a quarterback just ain't going to be good for them. Maybe they would have been better than a 3-win football team. But damn it, you could look very well at this and go, hey, leave record out, just look at what you have in your depth chart. Yeah, you can definitely say that. Because I think Quinshon Judkins is going to be good, and Dylan Sampson can be good. I don't think, who's going to be Nick Chubb in his prime? From rookie year up until the injury, I mean, Nick Chubb was great. So who's going to be Nick Chubb at the beginning of his prime and during his prime? Nobody. Can I count on Jerry Jeudy for another year? I think I can get a lot of yards out of Jerry Jeudy because I don't think I can count on anybody else. Jamari Thrash, I have hope for. That's silly to put that on him. Cedric Tillman, third-round guy, really a one-route guy. Hopefully that can change. I'm not necessarily sure it will. David Njoku can be solid as long as he's healthy, and that's always a question. So I got those guys. That's still not as good as what I had last year. So play the long game here. We can go out and get Terry McLaurin, and I can make this, hey, if everything works out all right, I can make this a 7-win team. 7-win teams usually don't have, if they're going to start with a 40-year-old quarterback this year, which I want them to, and I assume they will, and 50-50 if they will with him or Kenny Pickett right now, to be honest with you. But if they start with one of those guys who still doesn't feel like they have a great future, then if it's a 7-win team and I don't have a rookie taking over, then I'm taking a quarterback next year. And then if I'm taking a quarterback next year, then my wide receiver, unless I'm bad enough, my wide receiver might either come out of that first round of the draft or maybe in the second round of that draft or goodness gracious, if I win seven games some way, somehow, then I have to use those two first-round picks because I could still be in a situation to take a quarterback. And Tone, take those two first-round picks, go get my quarterback, and then I got to wait until 2027 to take my wide receiver. And that might be great for people who want to take Jeremiah Smith, but I don't think they shouldn't plan on being as bad as what they would be in a position to take Jeremiah Smith in.
Does any of this matter to you how highly thought of how highly you think of Jerry Jeudy? Meaning, if I think Jerry Jeudy can be what's the ceiling of Jerry
Jeudy? I think he can be a sturdy 1,000-yard wide receiver for you, and I think he's getting paid like it, and I can be fine with all that. But if he's got four different quarterbacks throwing to him this year, it's going to be a challenge for Jerry.
I get that. I guess give me the comp. Like, because I saw some people getting carried away with how good they thought Jeudy was because of the Denver game, which was such an odd game. Like, he was torching them on every play, and yet they never rolled coverage over. They never tried to take him out of the game. They were almost like, yeah, sure, we'll let Jerry Jeudy run up and down the field, and he killed them.
I'm trying to find a comparison. Like, for over-the-top good, I can throw in the 1 year of Josh Gordon. That's over-the-top. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the top of the scale. Where's the nice, meaty, higher-end, above the middle part of the scale that's a good, solid 1,000 yards? Is that Jarvis? Is that because you've only had a few 1,000-yard receivers. Terrell Pryor, that's a totally different conversation.
The way people were talking about him, remember, he went for 142 against New Orleans, 85 against Pittsburgh in a win, 235. I can't believe they lost that game. 235 against Denver, against Kansas City, he had 100. Now, the last two games were bizarre. They were out. The team was out. And, I mean, that game against Miami, they threw to him every down. And he was like, he was dropping the ball. He was throwing temper tantrums. He was lining up offsides. The final two games were like old Jerry Jeudy. We're like Denver Broncos Jerry Jeudy again. But we excused it because you wouldn't want to. Why would you?
No.
So you excused it by saying, well, who cares? It's the last two games of the year. The season's over. If this were a playoff team, he wouldn't be doing any of this.
That just throws another thing in there, and I didn't even mention this earlier in the offseason. That's another reason why you got to start the season with Joe Flacco. You want Jerry Jeudy on the same page, don't you? If you're telling me that I don't remember the temper tantrums. Maybe they were there in the final couple games of the season.
It was bad body language. Well, it was Broncos body
then
language.
I want good Browns body language at the beginning of the year, and I want Jerry Jeudy to be his best, and so I want Joe Flacco to start the season because I know if Joe's going to find anybody, he's going to find Jerry Jeudy. He's going to be able to put it on him. He might throw an interception, but it's going to still be in his general direction most of the time. So at least you'll have that going for you. But still, it goes away from the whole thing of Terry McLaurin. And like, I'm not, as much as I like Terry McLaurin and would love him with the Cleveland Browns, everything about this says, Kenny, it doesn't make sense. I just want to make sure it has nothing to do with Andrew Berry's track record and wanting to put Andrew Berry in a box. Because I think if I put him in this box of not being able to draft guys, not being able to do anything but trade for guys, well, then I'm already giving up on Andrew Berry when it comes to wide receivers. But I want to know, does it make my team better? It does, but how much better and at what cost? Because if it comes at too big of a cost and we only are talking about still not making the playoffs and still ending up with like a top 12 draft pick, then did Andrew make this decision just to save his own job? Because that's not what you're... Plenty of guys have done that, but that's not what you're supposed to do. Like, they decided to not take a quarterback number two overall this last year. And I told you, and I said it right after the draft, I can always say that Andrew Berry decided to do what was best for the franchise. So as long as he's doing what's best for the franchise, he can still get fired. But at least he's doing what he felt is best and not doing something selfish like doing something for his own job. But that decision right there with Terry McLaurin, as much as I adore McLaurin, all that evidence would tell you, and the 29th rank, which Bill Barnwell, in the end, all be all. I know he's gotten things wrong a time or two, but it's hard to argue against that. I mean, now we're just splitting hairs on the 29th ranked overall position package group. I'm not going to respond to Pony's tweet. I know what you sent, and I'm not going to do it. All right, I'm just going to bring this up real quick. Pony said 70 NFL executive coaches and scouts once again ranked Myles Garrett ahead of TJ Watt, proving yet again the NFL executives, coaches, and scouts have no idea what they're talking about. And then you added me you want me to start ripping on Pony.
No, I just want you to see it.
Guys, I can't. I can only lead the pony to the water. And then I have to pull his head out of his ass to make him drink. I can't do the first thing. How am I supposed to make him do the second thing to have any common sense in the sport of football? Folks, I can't do it for Pony. He's an unhelpable person. He's incorrigible when it comes to sports. When it comes to football, I can't do it for him, guys. He's not a football guy like us here in Cleveland. He is this
We know a football guy when we see it.
Different entity. Coming up in 5 minutes, Bill Ryder going to join us. Ryder than you. Middays on Infinity Sports Network. Folks, it's the summer of LeBron yet again. Is it worth our problem? Is it worth our while this time? Or am I just inviting the circus to the town? Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Now let's see if he agrees with me. Bill Ryder joins us right now, Ryder than you on the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing wonderful. You tired of hearing about LeBron nationally?
No, you know what? I mean, my feelings are hurt. LeBron called me a liar on Twitter 3 months ago, so who knows how nice I'll be. But I love talking LeBron. I wouldn't have a career without LeBron, so let's do it.
What? He called you a liar. I'm sorry, I did not see this. He called you a liar.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was doing a live show, and I got a bunch of, X mentions, and I thought, oh, man, I'm killing it. I'm crushing it. But I didn't realize LeBron called me a beeping, an effing lie. Yeah, LeBron had a little temper tantrum a few months ago with me. Sure.
Holy God. Tone, I'm speechless to some level. LeBron, I don't know. He's gotten a little bit nasty with some people recently. You, I didn't realize that. Brian Windhorst, which... I don't know. I felt that was honestly beyond the pale for him, but regardless. So, Bill, is it worth the squeeze then for the Cleveland Cavaliers to maybe take another run at LeBron James?
I love what you just said. Look, if you're in for the carnival, it 100% is. I know I'm supposed to give you a straight answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I think the window for Cleveland is right now, or maybe the next 2 years. The East is down. They're the best team. Teams are on the upswing. The East isn't going to be this bad in the years ahead, I don't think. So, the answer is maybe. The problem is, as you guys know, the price that you have to spend to get LeBron James. Is he still an amazing player? He's amazing. Is he a pain in the you-know-what when he's in the locker room? Yeah, it kind of is. You guys tell me. My understanding is I don't think that would be as big of an issue in Cleveland because of the reverence that the city certainly has for him. I would probably take that swing if I'm Kobe Altman, but I understand where you would not because he is older, and guys, he can be difficult. He can suck the energy and the life out of a room when things are going badly, and if the bleep hit the fan in Cleveland and he's there, I do worry that your very maybe 2 year window would shrink pretty quickly.
All right, Bill. So this is the analysis we come for because I feel like a lot of the people I've been arguing with didn't pay attention to say Kevin Durant last year. They didn't realize that he was actually the most efficient isolation player in like 20 years of tracking data. Last year in the NBA, 37. LeBron James, I found him to be, in my personal ratings, I had him as a top 10 player in the league. He was second team All-NBA, got MVP votes. So I know they got bounced early, so people thought that nullified a lot of that. How good was LeBron James last year?
No, I think you're right. I was just having this conversation with assistant GM a week ago. Top 8 to 12 player in the league. And here's the other thing. I mean, look, the guy is going to be 41 in December. He is still really, really good. He's a 25-26, 8-8 guy. maybe he's lagged a little bit defensively, but the view around the NBA is, look, if you can get LeBron on most teams, I think you do it. The problem becomes LeBron opting into that deal. If LeBron hadn't opted into his player option, if it wasn't going to cost, I don't even know what it would be for you guys, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Strus, whoever, whatever it is, and you could bring him in for the mid-level, 100% you do it, especially if you can pair him with a great, incredible lockdown defense. If he doesn't have to be, I don't know, the third best defender on a team, which, by the way, he can do occasionally, but at 40, 41, he's just got to pace himself. He is still at a really, really high level. How long that lasts, I don't know, but for Cleveland, at least on paper, right, if not including what has to go away now to bring him in, you've got a 1 or 2 year window. Donovan's getting older. The aprons are a real thing. The East is so bad right now with the Pacers injured. I don't think the Bucks are going to be very good. Boston's in rebuild mode. So on paper, it makes sense for LeBron because, yes, you're right. He's a top 10 player, 100%. The problem becomes, I think, is the price worth it if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers or, like the Thunder a year ago, do they feel like we're on the verge of breaking through?
Bill Ryder joining us here on the show. Well, yeah, like, because, you know, I want to ask you about LeBron taking less here in a second. I like Donovan so much, and I think this is one of the few times in the organization's history, like, the team feels like it's there's a player who's definitely a leader, and then there's everybody else. LeBron was one of those guys, and even LeBron had his problems with his two stints here and there with those Cavs teams. I do think, though, that if we're talking about championships, Donovan is obsessed. So I think Donovan would probably, if he had to step aside or if he had to lead forward. I do worry about the maturation to some extent of Evan Mobley. I think that we're starting to scratch the surface of how great he can be. How great that is, I'm not sure. But I think that we're starting to scratch the surface of that. Maybe LeBron bogs that down. I don't think he's here to leave it in a better position than where he's found it. He's never really done that. But this is as close to a championship as I've ever seen them. And I really thought, Bill, I really thought that I was like, wow, we're seeing a team that could approach a championship without LeBron James. I never thought I'd see it in my life. And here we are with another chance. And I get tired of making the argument too, but I want to see them cash in. They've made several big moves to put themselves in this position, but it feels like they're getting passed up by other teams in the East.
Yeah, it does. And this is, again, this is the year. The thing about LeBron that I don't know, and I honestly don't know the answer, is at this stage of his career, let's just say he's in Cleveland. Let's say the Cavs bring him back. Is he going to go more the Steph Curry route or the, what's about, Tim Duncan route, where he'll play a secondary role if he has to, he'll limit his minutes, he'll let Donovan be the guy, even every other night when it really matters, he'll let Mobley continue to develop, or, and there's nothing wrong with this, is he more of a Kobe Bryant, where it's still about me, I'm still the focal point, I still think I can do it, because if LeBron James goes back to Cleveland, or really anywhere for that matter, where there's a real, because there's not in L.A., real championship opportunity, is he able, as the best or second best, I think he's the best player in the history of the game, to actually be, like, accept that he's the second or third most important player on a team, and then maybe take over critical games when you get to the playoffs? I don't know the answer to that. Again, I like LeBron. I really do. Like, I know him. You guys probably know him. He's not a bad guy. He gets a bad rap. He is a pain in the ass. Whatever. All of those things are true. But he has an ego, and he is competitive. And for me, if I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, I know what he is on paper. I just need to know the role he's willing to play at 40 or 41, because I think you guys have a real chance to be champions next year without LeBron James. And so the question becomes, is bringing LeBron in an enhancer? Because if it is, I'm in. Or is it potentially something that limits a little bit this organic thing that Kobe Altman has put together post-LeBron James?
Bill Ryder joining us, Ryder than You, Infinity Sports Network. You had said a while ago, or maybe was it last week, that LeBron should have taken less?
Yeah.
I disagree, but I want to know why.
Well, look, it's easy for me to take $70 million out of LeBron's pocket, right? I mean, I would take a fraction of that and stop working other than talking to you guys on the radio and chill. It's really easy for me to take somebody else's money. We have seen guys do this, right? We've seen Mahomes do this to a degree. We've seen Tom Brady do it. Kobe didn't do it. Tim Duncan did. I have always operated under the assumption LeBron James cared more about rings than anything else, and I have sat across from LeBron and had conversations about how he wants to be the best player of all time. And for me, you certainly have to collect rings to do that, especially with Jordan's legacy. I know LeBron went on his podcast and said rings are stupid. That is just a public relations move by him. Unless he just wants to live in Los Angeles and hang out and chill in Brentwood and enjoy the... I mean, look, I'm looking at the ocean right now, and it's 67 degrees, so...
Congratulations on all your success.
But, But I'm from Iowa, right? Like, I would go back to Iowa in a heartbeat if I could have the job that I wanted. He's not from Cleveland, but he's from Akron. I mean, it's, if I'm LeBron James, if I'm advising him, you have enough money, you are literally approaching a billionaire on just your entrepreneurial skill. You have a movie studio, in effect, that you've put together. You've got your claws into an agent. I mean, LeBron is an incredibly impressive business person. He doesn't need money. It's about pride. It's about his philosophy that player empowerment means you should get a big chunk of the cash. I get it. He's gotten his money. He's made millions and billions for players. If I were him, I would have chased the best opportunity to win a championship, and that certainly means not making the money that he makes now.
Bill Ryder with us on the hotline. One more on LeBron, then I want to ask you something you said about the Cavs. So Karl Anthony Towns is making roughly the same money as LeBron. And I've tried to tell Cavs fans, like, how would you feel if you don't want LeBron? How would you feel if the Knicks and their really talented starting five traded Karl Anthony Towns for LeBron? How would you feel about playing them in a series? I would be petrified. I already know the Knicks would give us all we can handle without LeBron. Imagine they had LeBron. I'd be very nervous.
No, it's a good call. And by the way, the Knicks are the only team. I mean, something will emerge or change. Maybe the Pistons or maybe the Magic, but really the Knicks are the only team that feel like a real threat to Cleveland, you know, at this point in July, looking to, what, almost a year from now. And I don't know where you guys – Cat's very talented. I wouldn't want Karl Anthony Towns in my aspiring championship team if I could choose somebody else. So if I am the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would much – you're right – much rather face a team that has Cat than has LeBron. The thing is, it's easier for the Knicks to pull that off because – as you know, you basically unplug Cat, right? It's one guy. For you all, it's so much depth you have to give away. And I know that's not the model of the NBA the last 20 years, but it is the model of the NBA the last 2 years. And part of why I think the Cavs can be great is they have deep and they have depth. They have multiple pieces. It's a different equation for New York than for Cleveland.
Okay, my next question is, you said earlier, like, you thought the Cavs were in a great spot as is. The problem with us has been, obviously not the regular season, we are gangbusters. We look like an all-time great offense the last few years, and when they want to play defense, they look like they have one of the best defenses in the league. And then we see a very different team in the playoffs. This year, there were excuses, there were the injuries, but physicality, that is something that really bothers the Cavs come playoff time. Their own coach and GM had brought up both physical and mental toughness. So there hasn't been a proof of concept that this works in the playoffs, and we're going on year four of this core. Give us a reason why we think, other than the East is really down, that you think the Cavs could get over the hump.
All right, here's my glass half full view, and I mostly see it this way. With the era where you make the finals if you are the Warriors with Steph or you have LeBron in the East from, whatever, 10 years ago, the new reality is it takes a while to learn to be a champion. The Thunder, a year ago, were coming off a one seed. They tied for the one seed, and they flamed out in the second round of the playoffs. Now they're champions. The Celtics a couple years ago were champions. They had multiple, with at least Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, multiple NBA finals / conference finals appearances without a championship. They learned how to get there and to do that. I really think that you have to climb that ladder now in the NBA like you did back in the 80s and 90s, like the Bulls had to do, like the Pistons had to do, like all of those teams had to do. You guys had huge expectations for a huge stretch. You were the best team in the NBA along with the Thunder when you had that sort of home and away where you won one and you lost one. It looked like you were on the same level. I think the experience you just had of disappointment will make them mentally tougher if, and I do, but some people don't, you believe Donovan Mitchell can be an absolute superstar in the playoffs and sort of lift a team when they rally around him. So for me, the experience you guys just went through, the heartbreak, that's what it takes to forge teams into champions, and I think you have it, but you don't know until you know until mid-April rolls around.
I do want to ask you about Donovan Mitchell. Ken started out the interview talking about the window of the Cavs. Donovan Mitchell has been sensational this last year with his minutes limited a bit. You could argue was the best season of his entire career. Obviously, in the playoffs, again, talk of a calf strain, putting the whole team on his back and on fumes by the second round. And that's the second round.
Yeah.
What is a reasonable expectation of Donovan? How many more peak Donovan years do we have?
Man, when does he turn 30? A year? This year? This upcoming season? I mean, Two? I mean, I think it's two. I think you can confidently, it can go longer, right? We know that sort of with modern conditioning. But you have two more years. Two more years, I would feel comfortable saying Donovan is a top, he's an all-NBA player. He's a top 15 player. He's obviously capable of scoring 50 or 60 points on any given night. Yeah, I think he's that good for the next couple years. Then you get some difficulties at 31 or 32 in contract situations. But he is that. And the thing is, and you're right, I mean, there was a humility in the service of excellence this past year, I thought, where he was willing to take fewer minutes and take fewer shots and sort of cede things to other guys on the team. That was critical. And even though the league hates load management, you have to find a way to rest these guys. Maybe that's the best argument for LeBron. He's a cyborg. I think Donovan Mitchell has two great years left in him, but you're right. They have to pace him, or he has to pace himself. He's got to be exceptional in May, not just in October and January.
Bill, thank you very much for the time. All the best to you. We thank you.
Yeah, guys, my wife's from Ohio. Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Bill Ryder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.